Don't touch your dial. You're not going anywhere. We've still got another hour of Coast to Coast here to go for you. Okay, I'm switching gears just a little bit. The special topic line where we were getting your weird stories, you can still call in on the other lines. Now, because I've become obsessed with this, I am going to keep that line open only. 818-817-0021. Tommy's there, ready to take your call. 818-817-0021. To just those of you in Hawaii, Native Hawaiians who speak pidgin. So you can do that because a friend of mine has told me about this, and I got to tell you, I've got to hear it for myself. And Tom is a believer in it, and he says, yeah, they talk this language. So that line is just for you for just this half hour. 818-817-0021. Those of you who are Native Hawaiians who can talk pidgin, I'll be back. And welcome back to Coast, Let's Do It. And, of course, the line, the pigeon line. The pigeon, by the way, is spoken throughout the entire world. 818-817-0021. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Where are you calling from, my friend?
I'm calling from Las Vegas, Nevada.
Okay, great.
Well, just before I get started, I just wanted to say thanks to you, George, because lately I've been going through a lot of mental problems. I'm on medication and all that, and I know it sounds weird, but it's actually for anxiety mainly, and I just wanted to thank you because your show, for some reason, just listening helps me calm down.
Well, that's great, and let's use it as a goal. Maybe we get you off this medication one day.
I want to be.
Once the doctor says you're okay for that.
What was that?
Once the doctor says it's okay to do that, of course.
Oh yeah, of course. I don't want to step out of lines on medication.
That's exactly. If it's working for you, good.
Yeah, it is. And so is your show.
Well, good. But, thank you.
I don't know if you're familiar with the area around Las Vegas. I've heard you mention Las Vegas a few times, but I don't know if you're familiar with the Lake Mead Highway. That runs outside.
No, I'm not. You know, I'm familiar with Henderson because we've done some shows out of the station casino there. And, of course, our great affiliate there, KXNT, is there. But in terms of traveling a little bit toward those outskirts in Las Vegas, haven't done that yet.
Well, out in Henderson, that's where my girlfriend lives. She lives Lake Las Vegas. It's basically the last set of houses you can go to if you hit on Lake Mead. And I go to visit her. I live in North Las Vegas. I live 32 miles from her. And I go see her almost every day.
Okay.
And I have found that at night, they open up, because Lake Mead is that you have to pay to get out there. But after 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock, they open it up for free travel. And I have found that when I get on the Lake Mead Highway and drive outside the Las Vegas Valley, it curves back into North Vegas. And it's a lot faster for me than just to go straight to the city. So I take that highway frequently. It's a two-lane highway, so it's kind of scary at night. But, you know, it's just kind of a nice, peaceful drive. That's why I like it. It's just moving out there, basically. Well, the last week, it's been kind of strange. I've always been able to talk to her on my cell phone while I've been driving. You know, constant contact, just talking.
Yeah.
Never been cut off. There's a couple spots where you get cut off just because of the way the mountains are.
And it makes the trip go by pretty darn fast, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have my headset on, so it's not too dangerous. And I'm just relaxing. Well, one night I had my windows down. Well, not my windows, just my moonroof because it's making it hard to talk. And I'm driving along, and I'm talking to her, and all of a sudden it's cut off in a weird spot. And I said, well, that's kind of odd. And then over the road in front of me, I swear I see this. It looked like an object. Blurred out, sort of, and it went very fast. It was kind of distorted. That area of space just seemed distorted to me.
Huh.
It didn't look quite right. And I said, okay, you know what? Maybe I'm just being weird. You know, I listen to Coast. I might be thinking it's anything, you know?
Yeah.
So, whatever. I just keep driving, and then I try to call it back, and the bars on my phone, it's red. It won't let me make any calls. I can't
Nothing.
Make any calls.
No signal at all.
No signal at all. The entire trip. And I swear it went right over where my moonroof was open.
Did it cook your phone?
What was that?
Did it cook your phone?
No, my phone was fine. It just wouldn't let me make calls. And I could swear to you it went over my moonroof. I thought I heard something move. I just kind of a just really quick. And then the next night I did the same thing, no problems, just talk on the phone. But the following night, I was driving, and I never told her about this, but I said to her, I said, you know what's funny is I saw something the other night, and I thought I saw it again, right when I told her about that. And I said, okay, this is weird. And then I started telling her more about how I got cut off. I said, well, when I was talking to you, I got cut off when I saw this thing. And as soon as I said that, cut off again,
jeez,
no phone the entire trip.
That is something's monitoring or something.
Well, I was thinking, I didn't know what it was. You know, I didn't know exactly what this was. And then I heard your guest come on, I think it was last night, and talk about the dragonfly.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, you know, that's perfect to test something like that, because there's a few people that go, you know, on that road, and it's so dark out there, it'd be impossible to see it. I mean, it's pitch black.
That's a good point. I mean, test communications, wipe it out for a little bit,
exactly.
and see what happens.
Oh. And the weird thing was, is when I mentioned it, the phone was cut. So maybe that was a monitoring sort of thing, like I said.
Well, you know, if this keeps up and you keep seeing objects at the same time, it's got to be tied together.
It has to be. And then I saw another car in front of me on the road, and I thought I saw the blur over them. And I noticed the person in the car in front of me turn the light on in their car.
Like something happened. Yeah.
So they were looking at something, maybe their phone or something. So I don't think I'm the only one that's had this happen out there.
And you take this ride almost every day?
Almost every day. I mean, probably about 5 times a week.
Okay, well, I tell you what, next time check in with us, specifically if there's some kind of craft or something in the area, and just monitor that for us. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Hi, this is Diana, and I'm, like I tell the gentleman that answered the phone, I'm somewhere lost in Nebraska.
What do you mean lost? What's wrong?
My computer light shut off, and I just don't want to on. It's kind of blinding at night.
Well, you be careful, okay?
Oh, I
lost,
am.
Try to get you some
definitely.
Help. We've got
great truck drivers
out there. We can have them swarm and protect you. Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah, that's what I am.
Prove it. Let me hear the horn.
I know where I'm at. I'm just somewhere out here on I-80. That's all I know.
I need to hear the horn. I need to hear the horn.
Let me get over here to it.
There you go. Okay.
There you go.
You are what you said you are.
Yes, I am. Most definitely. I wanted to You had a nurse call in a while ago, and she was talking about the man that the lady had seen through the window, and it reminded me of when my father-in-law had passed away. She's 13 now, my 13-year-old stepdaughter.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, she was 9. This was in July of 2004. My father-in-law had this massive medical problem, and the week before he died, my mother-in-law had taken him in for one of his dialysis treatments, and from there they sent him directly to the hospital so she could get some rest because she was so exhausted. And that was on Wednesday. The following Wednesday, they put in a feeding tube. Thursday, my husband and I went up to the hospital to see him Thursday evening, and I took her shopping because she wanted to stay there at the hospital. Friday morning, they called a code blue on him. And Friday night, he went and picked up his daughter from her mother's house. Well, this is where it gets wild. What he didn't tell me, I didn't go with him to pick Tiffany up. Whenever he got back, he was telling Tiffany had told him in the car on the way back from her mom's that she had had a dream that her pawpaw was in the hospital, and he told her, he said, yeah, baby, he's in the hospital. And I dreamed about him reaching for angels. He had fallen down, and the angels were trying to help him up. And Anthony told me, he said, well, honey, he said, I wouldn't have thought anything about it, but while I was sitting there with him, while you and Mama were gone shopping, she was reaching, you know, Daddy was reaching, and I would be reaching for, and he would just get frustrated and just put his arms down.
Like the angels were there to help him.
Angels were there to help him. Saturday morning at 6 o'clock, the phone woke us up. The hospital was calling to find out whether or not they could go ahead and take him off the DNR list and go ahead and revive him again. And my mother-in-law, my husband, took off to the hospital. I got the kids up, got them dressed, threw the van, took them to the hospital, called the minister in route, and had him meet us there. When the kids and I got there, he was walking our minister out. And I went upstairs, and by then they had already moved him into a private room because Tiffany was so young, she would not have been able to have gone into intensive care. Well, they moved him in there, back upstairs, and had no more than walked in the room, stood beside his daddy's bed. He said, "Daddy, I'm here," and his daddy took his last breath.
God, what a dream. Okay, you drive carefully out that way, too. Let's go to our... Hey, we have somebody on who can speak pidgin. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going, my brother George? How's it going?
Good. So now tell me about this, first of all. What is this dialect?
Dialect is just putting words in, big words into short words. That's about it.
Okay, and so fire away for me here.
What you like, no.
All right, let me ask you a question. I'll ask you a question. It'll be easier for you that way, okay?
Shoot.
All right, so whereabouts in Hawaii do you live?
Right now, we're still living by Makali on the island of Oahu.
All right, now that doesn't sound like pidgin to me, what you just did.
What else kind of stuff do you hear about pidgin?
I mean, you sound like we sound.
No, I come from the island of Oahu. That's the friendly isle, I think, or the gathering isle. But yeah.
So say something like, how are you, or something like that.
Oh, what's up, my brother? How's it going, Kaz?
That's how they talk?
Yeah, that's exactly how we talk down here.
That's pretty fast.
Well, you guys thought we talk like real pidgin kind.
All right, thanks. Maybe I'll take a few more of those. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Hey, hi. This is my boyfriend's first time listening to the show tonight. And...
Well, hello, what's your name and what's his name?
Oh, my name is Eve, and his name is BJ.
Well,
and we're
okay.
I'm from Fresno, California.
Now, if his name was Adam, I thought we'd have one heck of a show here.
We just wanted to call in and tell our story. We're hearing everybody else's stories and just tripped out stories and everything. And
okay, what happened?
Well, there was a night that we were, because we kept on hearing, we were living out in the backyard of his parents' home, and it was like a two-bedroom, like a garage, but it was our home. And we kept on hearing every night that there was, you know, like we would hear somebody out there all the time. And so we wanted to kind of snoop up on this person because we could never catch them. And so we were just feeling that they're always snooping on us. We'd snoop on them. So we went, like, in this little hiding area, you know, just behind the house, kind of like just stayed in, you know, where they couldn't see us. So we're out there that night and just, you know, we went out there pretty early. And we just started to just wait for it to kind of get dark and just stay quiet so that, you know, we wouldn't be heard and so we wouldn't talk or anything. And, like, as it started to get later and darker, you know, just, like, this creepy things just started to just happen. And we, like, a storm blew in, like a wind was just coming from all different ways. And we were feeling, like, you know, it was just really weird and strange. And then, like, things that were, like, laying on the ground, like, they just started to, like, glow. And neither one of us were saying anything because we didn't want to be heard if there was somebody there, you know, peeping on us. We didn't want to, you know, so we kind of just knew, shh, and, you know, just. And then all of a sudden, I started seeing like this weird like monster creature going up behind this barn, coming up, peeking up.
Oh, weren't you scared?
I was freaked out, and I didn't want to say anything to him because we were trying to catch somebody. So, you know, I was like really freaked out, and then I ended up, you know, to the left side of that, I started like seeing like this really weird like shaped cloud like of Mother Mary, and it was like so creepy that night. It was just so weird, strange. The clouds were just, he was seeing them in color. I mean, and we didn't want to say anything. So that night, after we started seeing, like, something really creepy, I started seeing the demon. We went inside. We were, like, freaked out. Okay, forget it. You know, we don't see nobody out there.
So you said demon. Is that what it was?
Well, it looked like it. I mean, it just looked like a really big, furry, hairy, like, yeah, like a lion type of thing.
Sounds like Bigfoot.
I don't know. It just was climbing up over the barn, and then like kind of like creeping down,
And, oh, my God.
And both of us were both seeing this, but, you know, we're just, well, let's just go inside. We didn't want to talk about it. We didn't want to say anything about it. So he started saying, well, what were you seeing out there? And I said, well, what were you seeing? And neither one of us wanted to say because we didn't want to think we were crazy. And then he goes, I always end up going first. So I said, well, I was seeing this very ugly, creepy demon type of like a lion, a lot of hair. And he's like, shut up. No way. He was seeing it too. He was like seeing it. And I mean, it was just so weird.
And did you finally move away from that area, Eve?
Yeah, we did. Well, I ended up telling him, and there was something else I kind of seen on the left side of that. And he's like, what? Tell me what. And I said, like a cloud, kind of looked like a Mother Mary. And he's like, no, I mean, he was seeing the same thing I was seeing. I mean, it was just so weird, so creepy.
It sounds like a Bigfoot to me. It does. A couple more quick calls, then the break. Let's go to our pigeon line. You're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it, brother? How you doing?
That's pigeon talk.
Hey, we better go home cook rice, bro.
All right, Tommy's trying to school me on this. He's saying to ask you, if you're going to dinner on Saturday.
Hey, brother, why don't you come over and grind us?
and people talk that way all the time?
Well, you know, it's a bunch of different languages thrown together. Let me do Peter Piper for you. You've heard Peter Piper before.
All right.
This is pidgin English. I learned this in seventh grade in Kihei School in 1970.
Here we go. All right.
Peter Piper of Apollo Paniolo, pick one tech pilau papaya. If you want pick one tech pilau papaya, how many say?
How do people understand that?
Well, you just, it's just kind of condensed words. I mean, it's just, it's Hawaiian, Portuguese.
Now, are these English words?
Some of them, most of them are, but it's just shortened. You know, how's it? You know, like, how is it? You know.
Say something like, you know, we're going to have a beautiful day tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow's going to be ono, brother. It's going to be beautiful. And ono is good.
How do you keep yourself from popping back and forth with that?
Well, it's been a long time since I live up in Lake Tahoe now, and it's been a long time. I've been up here 25 years, but I grew up there as a kid. I went to Lahaina High School on the island of Maui, which is...
Now, do you go back at all?
It's been about 12 years since I've been home.
Okay, I'm just wondering if you go back, if you pick up that dialect again.
It's real easy to slip right into it, you know. Hey, what's up, brother? How you doing? All right.
All right, so tell the world that you listen to Coast every night.
Oh, you guys better listen Coast to Coast. The bugger going to broke the ear, I'm telling you, brother.
I love it. Well. Look, in a moment, we're going to play part of that audio of that incredible story, that alien news conference that they held today in Denver. And Stan Romanek, who shot the videotape, has been a good UFO researcher, has been a good paranormal researcher. He's got great credibility. People like him. People respect him. I'm going to ask him to do a lie detector test, and we've got a couple very qualified lie detector experts who would probably love to administer this test to him. And we'll just see what happens. And, it's just another element to a pretty fascinating story. It really is. Well, stick around. I'm going to be back in just a moment, and we'll play a portion of that news conference for you, and you'll enjoy it. I'll be right back. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, Ian Punnett joins us on Saturday, and then, of course, it's the first Sunday of every month. I'll be here with our special guest, Mr. John J. Harper, talking about some very mysterious things. So I'm looking forward to that as well. And as I said, thanks to all of you who have been participating and supporting Coast to Coast for so long. And another contest underway. I'm trying to give out some books, so we'll do it again next Friday as well. And I'll be back in just a moment. We're going to play for you a portion of today's news conference where they talked about and showed the media this alien peeping Tom. Back in a moment. Okay, as we were saying, the news conference in Denver about the peeping alien, here's a portion of it.
Good morning. Welcome to this informal, modest meeting that will, I guess, debut to some extent some special evidence confirming the existence of extraterrestrial life, and especially extraterrestrial life that has visited our planet. My name is Jeff Peckman. I'm the chief proponent and author of the ballot initiative that would create an extraterrestrial affairs commission in the city of Denver. Today we have a very good group of people. What we lack in a nice spread of nutritious food, we certainly hope to make up with very enriching information and knowledge to be shared. And we expect that this could be something of an historic event in that it might catalyze and facilitate much more discussion, deeper discussion, a higher level of discussion about the existence of extraterrestrials on our planet. Initially, when this ballot initiative was introduced, just going through the legal formality of having a review and comment period, that's normally not of much interest, but a very alert reporter caught wind of that as a public document, and then that initiated a first wave of media interest. So we are very pleased to see that there is this level of interest. It seems to be coming in waves, and this is an important thing for people to know, to understand what's going on our in our community, our planet, in the universe. It's important to be informed consumers, informed voters, informed parents. It's just important to be informed. And we believe that the end result of all this information will ultimately be a higher quality of life, a cleaner planet, the availability of technologies which would help us in multiple areas, and a harmonious and peaceful coexistence with species from other planets. And according to one report, there are as many as 57 species that have already been documented by our own government that have visited our planet. So there's a great deal to learn. We're going to try to give you in just a few minutes just a snapshot, really, and a little bit of footage of a phenomenon that's been known for decades. And the witness test, the experts who have had top security clearance that you'll see just briefly in this other video, collectively they probably have 5 or 10,000 years of life experience in various government programs that deals very directly with this phenomenon of extraterrestrials and UFOs of an extraterrestrial origin.
I did the video analysis on a frame-by-frame basis of the Stan and Romanek footage, and I see absolutely no evidence of post-production effects applied to the footage. Some of it was DV, some of it was time-lapse photography, and that means that nothing was done after the fact. Nothing was superimposed over the top of the footage or anything of the sort. So that means that all of it was shot in camera. Now, if that's the case, it would take an awful lot of expense to pull off this elaborate set of shots. And if it's not a fake, it's undoubtedly the most important footage I've ever seen.
Actually, Stan hasn't devoted his life to looking for UFOs, and he very adamantly disbelieved in UFOs and thought that people who believed in it were ridiculous and kooks. But then he was at work and someone said there was some sort of object over his work, and he looked and he saw this. He saw it several times over the next few months along with many other witnesses, and got some video of these UFOs, and he started slowly to become a believer because he cannot explain what he's getting.
Are the same, and this little guy visited the same house then later?
We're not sure if this is a little guy. I personally would not want to comment on what this may be. I think we need a lot more analysis to determine what this may be before I would be comfortable saying what it is. So I think we need some more investigation in that arena.
How high is that window?
That window is 8 feet high, and that wasn't fairly, I mean, most of Nebraska is pretty rural, so I think it was in the rural Nebraska.
8 feet to the bottom of the window? Or from,
yes.
From
8 feet to the
ground outside?
Let me confirm. 8 feet to the bottom of the window?
Yes. From the ground outside?
From the ground outside, yes.
We're talking about 8 foot tall.
So, yeah, that object was... That's, you know, as much as I do in that case.
So why do you think, you and Jeff, that the government is deliberately withholding and covering up these multiple events?
That's a great question. And I would say, as MUFON, our perspective is we gather data. We gather data and information and then try to draw conclusions from that data. Our data shows that there are these craft that have technology beyond human technology coming here, and the government knows about it and they're not sharing it. So going beyond that is speculation. So it would be speculation as to why the government is withholding that information. We just feel that they are. Some people speculate that it's perhaps because the public's not ready for it. Some people think that perhaps because the technology that is demonstrated, they've been able to harness and they don't want to share it with enemies. There are a lot of different possibilities there.
Can you speculate why, if they have technology beyond our knowledge, why they would come all the way and just have a peeping in a window?
I guess I would, to answer that question, I have no idea. I couldn't answer that question.
What other type of analysis are you going to get on that? You've gotten a film expert saying that this is original footage, but what other ways are you going to analyze the footage to tell whether it's...
Well, there are other types of experts out there. There are more people who have been in the special effects arena, perhaps people who have been in the puppeting type of arena. Not only that, this is only one small piece of a huge pile of information that has been collected. So this piece has been looked at. I know Jerry's looked at a few other pieces, but there is a lot more as far as physical evidence that needs to be looked at in this case. To make a sufficient argument either way.
Have you contacted the investigators for 5 years? What is your opinion of this video?
My opinion of this video is I agree with Jerry. Jerry, I think, is credentialed in that. Personally, it seems to be, I've spent a lot of time with Stan and his family, and I do not believe that they have the motivation or the capability to perpetrate a hoax at this level. I think that there was something in that window, whether it was something from off planet or something that was fabricated on planet, I can not say for sure. It could be some elaborate hoax from some people with some immense resources, but of course that's pretty far-fetched as well.
Is this the first time it's been shown to the media, and how many people have seen this?
There have been a few hundred people, about maybe 500 or 600 people that have seen it now. Luckily, because Stan is local, he has done some presentations locally. The last presentation was actually on the campus here, also hosted by the Crypto Science Society and Paranormal Research Forum. There were about 400 people that had seen that. And that's 4 hours of just... incredible, amazing videos and pictures and experiences that are shared. Actually, there was someone in the back of the room that had a question too at the same time, but okay, go ahead, sorry. Yes, sir.
You criticized the government for keeping things secret.
Mm-hmm.
Now you make everybody turn their cameras away. You have a great tool,
right?
The internet. Mm-hmm. You can post this on the internet, get people to respond, recount similar experiences.
Well, first of all,
isn't this secrecy and teasing, kind of a publicity stunt?
Well, first, to answer the first question, I'm not necessarily criticizing the government. I'm just saying that those are the decisions they've made. I just don't know why they've made those decisions. Second of all, we've been through this before, and many people have, where they do release information a little too soon. And unfortunately, we've found that it has been detrimental to actually finding the facts around a case, unfortunately. So in this case, we want to gather a lot more credible investigation before it's fully released to the public. As far as this being a public a tease, I guess I would ask Jeff, maybe his motivation's more around showing it here today. I think this is just to show people of the public or in the media why some of us believe in some of this stuff and why Jeff is inspired to create this ballot initiative. Do you want to make a comment?
This gathering, the reason I said it was modest is it was meant to be just an informal showing of this video, because in the early interviews on the ballot initiative, I was asked, you know, what compelled me to do this ballot initiative? What evidence did I see that convinced me that extraterrestrial beings existed and were on this planet? And so I shared some of that information about the witness testimony that I'd heard, much of some of the things from Stan Romanek's story, and also mentioned this video. And that seemed to catch everybody's attention. And with quite impassioned pleas, I was asked to make some arrangement where they could see that as well, so that they could experience what I experienced and, I guess, draw their own conclusions. So this then kind of escalated into something much bigger. But really, it was just to share that with the people who had asked me to see it. And so we've done our best to show that. But again, it is under agreement with, you know, to create this documentary. It's very valuable information. This footage is rare. And I think you would agree that, you know, in the court of public opinion, there are certain kinds of evidence that you can present, some that you might withhold for various reasons. This might not be for the same reasons as in an action in a court of law. But nevertheless, there's an important, it's important to present it within the context of the full picture of what's been going on. And again, I saw this at the end of a 2 or another 3 hour description of this man's story of his life. And by the time it got to the video, I could have walked out of there totally convinced anyway. But having that video as a visual confirmation just kind of completed the experience. And this DVD that you have is a distillation of, well, first of all, there's 500 government documents on that DVD that corroborate these kinds of claims of the existence of ETs. There's also 2 hours distilled out of, I believe, 37 hours of witness testimony from really just a handful of people out of 400 or 500 people now, that most of which had various levels of top security clearance, who have come forward. You could call them whistleblowers, you could call them patriots, but they are willing to speak the truth. Many would need to have immunity and know that they could only testify in front of a congressional hearing. So we're offering what we can while respecting the rights of the people who have the video footage to present it in a context that they feel will be most effective. And as Stan mentioned last night on a radio show, if it was purely up to him, this might have gone out a lot sooner. But because there are different agreements in place, he has to respect that.
Jeff?
Yes?
I didn't have my stopwatch on. You mentioned you'd seen 2 to 3 hours of video prior to this. About how long was with those snippets that we saw? Did you guys...
That was of the which?
Of the extraterrestrial, you know, floating up and down.
Yes. And by the way, if you didn't catch it, somebody was asking if it was an 8-foot-tall extraterrestrial. It could have been 2 of them that were 4 feet tall. Because when if you notice, his head kind of drops suddenly. That just is what you'd expect if somebody's up there going, can you see anything? Oh, jeez. So, and this video footage is really just one of 100 unique experiences that Stan has had with these kinds of unusual phenomenon. Another one was an implant that was removed and analyzed by scientists and found to have very sophisticated, advanced nanotechnology that exceeded the current knowledge of nanotechnology amongst these very high-level scientists. So you really have to look at all these things together to finally draw a conclusion. And then I think even that will help you to evaluate even more so the authenticity of the film, of the being that was there. And when you hear more of the testimony from the various witnesses, this is just, you know, one of thousands, apparently, of these kinds of experiences. And I believe that, if I'm not mistaken, I believe that Dr. Greer mentioned there had been already 4,000 crashes that were recorded. 4,000 crashes. You know, while we're still discussing whether or not Roswell actually happened, people in our government and these secret projects that are funded with amounts of money we'll never know about have categorized 57 species, 3 of them gray, of the gray species, all of them humanoid. You know, somebody's going to have to dig into that and find an explanation. How did that happen?
I just want to say one thing real quick because I have to leave. I've got meetings this afternoon to go to. So please give me a call. We also have brochures for MUFON out here. They've got Dan Aykroyd on the cover. He is actually our Hollywood sponsor. And then there are some forms of press packet, at least provided with information as well. So thank you all for attending and hope to talk to some of you soon.
And we'll keep following up on the alien who peeks into windows. UFO Phil, take us home.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden. And I never knew There were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening.
For Karis Coburn, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Ross Mitchell, Lean Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. Until then, be safe, everyone.